I'm going to get shot down.
Good morning, everyone. The Mary Griffith Show is underway, and I am excited. You know, people say to me all the time, Mary, you've been doing this show for over 30 years. Do you ever get bored? I say, no, I don't, because I'm always meeting new people. And a new person I'm meeting today is Bobby Collins. He is the invited guest of Jack Freiberg, who comes in on the Mary Griffith Show once a month, and we so appreciate that.
Good morning, Mary.
Good morning. And Bobby, I want to hear your story. Now, we're going to talk today about what you do as a nuisance trapper, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us the Bobby Collins story, and I guess most specifically, how do you know this? How do you know Jack Freiberg, this joker?
Well, last question first.
Okay.
I met him out at the Hunters Fishermen's Association here in Quincy.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a member of that association. I'm also a member of the Trappers Association, State of Illinois. I met him. How can you not be a friend of this guy? I mean, he's always asking questions. He's always checking you out, seeing what's going on.
So that's how you met him. You have a mutual interest in hunting and fishing.
Right, and trapping.
And so tell us about yourself. Is this what you do for a living, or is this a hobby of yours?
This is my retirement job.
Okay, what did you do before retirement?
I was a pattern maker is my trade. And then when the pattern making went downhill because of CNCs and things like that, because I was a bench building pattern maker, I went to tool making out at Titan Wheel for about 13 years.
Okay.
And I trapped during the winters as a hobby and mostly of that sort of thing. I was brought up in a little town in northwest Missouri, and that's where it all started. My dad taught me how to trap, and you know, you're 12, 13 years old, and green as grass, and we hunted, fished, and trapped, and did all that stuff.
You ate what you caught a lot of times, too.
Yeah.
How old a man are you, Bobby?
I'm 70.
70. See, my dad would be 100 now. You know, he's passed away. And my dad, he grew up, you know, in rural Missouri on a farm. And one thing, he never liked hunting and fishing when he got to be an adult. He said it's not as glamorous when you have to do it because you got to eat it, because you have to survive, you know.
Yeah.
It's a little bit different if you're sitting out in a deer stand, and if you get something or you don't get something, who cares, because you can always go to the supermarket on the way home. But when you come up you know, and when you eat and live off the land, not completely, but yeah, you probably had squirrel and rabbit and all kinds of stuff on your
fish.
Table.
Fish, lots of fish. Did lots of things. Dad was an avid outdoorsman. He taught me everything he taught me the basics. Trapping and hunting and everything is involved into so much more now and more modern ways of doing things. I still do some hobby trapping, and I still do some fur trapping. But most of the stuff I do nowadays is try to help people deal with wildlife nuisance. And that's one of the biggest things that they have. And it's anything from, as Jack was talking about, muskrats. We talk about that quite a bit. But
the raccoons.
This
awesome.
Oh, yeah. Well, let's talk about a raccoon for a minute. I took 192 out of the city and surrounding area this year.
In Quincy, you captured 192 raccoons.
Well, not all of them were in Quincy. I would say about 150 of them were out of the Quincy.
But they're in an urban area.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like out in the middle of the woods where
let's try 18th Street. Let's try 12th Street.
Raccoons want to live in a nice neighborhood.
Oh, you out at Spring Lake Estates. They love that out there.
Oh, they're snotty out there, yeah. They're uppity. They're like, excuse me, we have to be on the golf course now.
They want to be in your attic. That's what they want.
Yeah, I've got friends that live out there, and they say it's really quite a problem. So I want to ask right off the bat, when you're going out, somebody calls you and says, I've got this raccoon, it's coming up on my porch, eating my dog food, it's you know, I don't want it around my kids, I want it gone. You trap it and release it out in the woods far away, or do you send it to raccoon heaven?
I'm mandated by by decree, it's not actually a law, but it's a decree because we have a biologist that's over all of what we do, the nuisance guys do, and they set limits and everything like that. And our raccoon issue that's going on right now is we've had a lot of sick raccoons. They're carrying some diseases that you don't want any part of, especially messing with their feces. I suggest glove up. Don't mess with them unless you have to. They have what they call a roundworm. The roundworm, and I'm no doctor, but I'm a hillbilly. it's some sort of a losis, and I even had a doctor this year call me. She told me that she had a raccoon on her porch or on her deck, and she had a 2-year-old, and she was afraid he was going to put his hands in his mouth, and she wanted them gone. I went, and she thought she had a couple, and 7 raccoons later, and a couple of possums, they were gone, and this was out in the Spring Lake Estates area, too.
And so do you humanely then kill those, or do you... Because if they're diseased and stuff like that...
I humanely put them down.
Yeah.
Okay. I euthanize them.
Good.
And the biggest problem that I have in the city is those people who want to be trappers, and that's okay. I don't have a problem with that. But I do have a problem with them not putting the raccoon down or taking them to a park and releasing them. If you would release him, he'll usually beat you back home. Or he's going to be a menace to some other neighbor. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good neighborly way to be.
Well, it's kind of like, it's like the deer population. You know, I always say I wish we had machine gun season. Because if you've hit one with your car, or if they've damaged your corn crop, you know, we have to keep them within reason. And when the raccoon population becomes so large that it's now not living in the woods anymore, but we've moved into their territory. They're not to blame.
Exactly.
But, you know, you can't have 7 raccoons and a couple of possums living at your house in Spring Lake Estates. That's not tenable. It's not safe for children. So people call you all the time, and this is what you do.
That's what I do.
Do you have a name of your company, or do people just know to call Bobby Collins?
Bobby Collins Wildlife Services.
Bobby Collins Wildlife Services. That's how you met Jack. He was calling for some other wildlife services, and he found out you just trapped raccoons. So you mentioned the different kind of trapping, and for most people that are going to come in contact with you, they want to get rid of a possum or a raccoon or something that's bothering them
squirrels
near their
too.
Home. Squirrels.
They get in your attic. The biggest problem with a squirrel, and it scares me to death, when somebody tells me they've got squirrels in the house. Squirrels chew. They make the wiring that is in your house is made out of a soybean material, and it's a base, and that soybean material is what they chew on. They get in your cars, they chew on that. They ask a mechanic how many wires they have to change out in a year, you know, with you've got squirrels climbing up in the car.
Yeah.
And I'm going to look at this from an insurance standpoint. From an insurance standpoint, the damage done directly by the squirrel is not covered by insurance. That's considered a house maintenance item. However, if the squirrel eats through the wiring, just like Bobby was just talking about, and causes a fire, and the fire ensues and damages the home, that is covered by insurance.
Yeah, but it behooves us all to be very, very conscientious and not to be, quote, nice to the nice furry animals and let them live in your attic, because they're going to, eventually your house will burn down because they can't help themselves. That's just what they do.
Well, but you also have, if the animals have been up there a long time and people have ignored them, you not only have the damage done directly by the animals, but you also have the cleanup factor that's involved, which sometimes can be absolutely extensive. People don't deal with things like that, and unfortunately, sometimes the cleanup damage can be a lot more than the actual direct damage done by the animal.
Yeah, nobody wants to deal with that.
I've got that going on right now. I have a house here in town that a lady called me a few weeks ago, and I'm having trouble catching this raccoon. He does not, you can't catch him if he doesn't come around. He's been there twice, and the reason I know is I use cameras. I've got cameras on my traps. I know what's going on. I know if there's anybody bothering anything or people or anything like that, or just generally, I have a feel for everything that's going on. I've been in this long enough to know. So what's happened is this lady calls me. She says, I've lost my heating and air conditioning to my back kitchen, which is on a slab. So they've taken and they put all this ductwork up in the attic. The raccoon got in the attic, broke open the ductwork, and then they don't make metal ductwork like they used to. This is a fiberglass covered plastics thing. And anyhow, it's gone. Peters was up there. He took pictures, showed me all the feces that was up there. Yeah. And that's part of the cleanup stuff. Now, I don't do cleanup, and I don't do house repairs. I am so busy catching animals, I don't have time to do all that. So I refer that.
I don't do cleanup and housework either, and it's not because I'm catching animals. So, Bobby, you and I have a lot in common. Okay.
You're busy, girl.
I'm busy doing other things.
Right.
I'm watching soap operas and stuff
well,
like that.
There's a time to call Bobby Collins, and there's a time to call Service Master.
That is so true.
Right. Generally, it's after you've had me there is generally a better time.
Get
the critter.
You've got to get it out first.
You got to get him because all you're going to do is have him come back. And I've also noticed that there some people will do that. They'll get it all fixed up, cleaned up and everything. And old Mr. Raccoon was back in a corner somewhere. And he will tear a hole in your roof. I guarantee you he will. He will open it up. I have a funny story to tell.
Please do.
I had a gentleman early in the spring. I just started doing some ads on Star Radio, and this friend of his gave him my number, and he lives just not very far from where I do. He said this one morning he heard this. He knew he had a raccoon problem in his attic. Anyhow, he went up on the roof and he put these cinder blocks on the roof or pavers. Up on the roof, he put about four or five of them right over the hole. About 5 o'clock in the morning, the raccoon shows up, climbs up a tree, gets on the house, proceeds to knock all those pavers off of the house, about got his bay window, and that's when I got called.
I think that one of the things, and we're having a lighthearted discussion, but if you've ever had this, it's serious. I've known people that have not really understood how pervasive the problem is. They've gone up and gotten rid of the squirrel in their attic, and 2 days later it's back, either it or its friend. So it really is something that has to be taken care of in a very permanent way. Jack Freiberg, we're going to continue talking about this nuisance trapping, but I'm going to set the stage after this break because you also trapped a badger. Okay, so we're going to talk about...
couple of them.
We're going to talk about legally trapping because that's how this whole thing came to be.
I've caught some badgers too.
Yeah, I've walked into So Essentials and there's this big hide on the table. I'm, what the heck? Are you making somebody a coonskin cap? She goes, no, it's a badger, and it's Jack Freiberg's badger. So I said this morning, Jack, I'm sure you're going to present it before the show's over. You must have had a little vest and a skirt and some boots made of that badger for me, right?
Oh, yeah, you ought to see me in it.
We're about the same size. I won't have to take it in much. We'll take a break. We'll be back. My guest today is Bobby Collins. He's a professional nuisance trapper. He also traps other things, but he's a professional nuisance trapper. And so if you have a question for him, we'll give a phone number after this break, and you can call him and drum up some business for you, Bobby.
Okay.
I bet he's like, oh, God, I can't hardly keep what I got on now, but that's okay. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. We are back, Talk Radio 930 WTAD. One of the great things about being friends with Jack Freiberg is he is truly a Renaissance man. He can talk about the most intellectual, historical concept about the founding of our nation or, the Revolutionary War or the Indian Wars or whatever. But then he also goes out and traps beavers what's the thing? Badgers, yeah.
Badgers, and muskrats, whatever.
My girlfriend, she was my college roommate. She graduated from the University of Illinois, got her doctorate from Wisconsin, lives up in Madison. And I said, if you want to have an outfit made that you can go to the ball games with and be a badger, I know a guy that can make it for you. So let's talk about, there is a need. I know we have a mountain lion season now. What can you legally trap in it? What can I legally go out? Not that I could do it, but if I wanted to catch something legally in Illinois, what are some of the things I can catch to eat and to skin for their fur?
We don't have a mountain lion season, but we do have a bobcat season.
That's it. I knew it was something. Bobcat.
Yeah, but you have to, in September, you have to apply for that tag, and it's a drawing, and it's one cat per year. But in my case, if somebody's having issues with bobcats, I can catch as many as I need to, but I can't keep anything. That all has to go. I either have to turn it in to the DNR or it has to be buried. Then there's raccoons, and squirrel is not a trapping animal.
Well, you shoot that.
Yeah, that's a shooter. I can trap them because they're in a nuisance situation. Possums, you can trap possums. Muskrats, mink, badgers.
Are there a lot
beaver.
Of badgers around here?
Not so many. We're allowed to catch on a fur sort of thing north of I-72. You can catch two. Below that, on the south end of the estate, you can catch one.
There are just certain segments of the state. My family has a place over by Maridosha that's been over there for a long time. And some of that area over there, people are surprised, but it's sand prairie, and we have cactus over there. And a lot of people don't think that there's cactus in Illinois. Well, surprise, friends, there is cactus in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And in that area is a prime area for badgers. They seem to thrive in that sand, and we've trapped a couple over there. We trap usually about one a year over there. And if there's a bad attitude animal around there, that's the one.
Are they? Because I joke, I said, Jack got this badger. Maybe we'll hear about how it came at him, attacking his throat. And first Jack had to fight it off with his bare hands. And then he grabbed a knife. And then he grabbed a rock. So your
story's a lot better than mine, Mary.
So you set out a trap. Is there a season, or can you do it anytime you want, or is there a season?
Well, if you're fur trapping, the season runs from November 10th.
Because you want it to have its big, heavy fur.
Well, you want the fur to be prime, so it's November 10th to February 15th. Okay. And around here, most of the time, most of the guys that trap either trap after Thanksgiving, or more than likely, they'll start trapping after the second deer season because they don't want to upset their balance with the deer being around. So, in general, the guys do that. Now, there's a lot of guys today that trap, but they don't trap for the fur. They trap as management trappers to control the coons and the possums, the skunks, etc.
And that's my job.
So
yeah,
they,
that's your job.
So they go ahead and do that but some of these guys trap them in order to manage predators, so they want their turkeys and their ground nests, their quail and what have you to do better.
Right. I mean, wildlife, everything's got to eat. I mean, it's kind of sad because when I'm up in Alaska in the rawest wilderness I've ever been in, and it's like, but that mama orca has to feed her baby too. She's, it's not just the poor little salmon.
The seals.
They've been fighting upstream for so long. Don't get them right before they get back
home.
Hey,
they've got their place too.
They've got their place too. And this is all the part of the circle of life. And when it gets out of balance, that's where Bobby Collins comes in and helps restore that balance by getting those nuisance animals down.
Well, there's also, I don't like to do it, but I'm not a snake guy. I don't really like snakes and stuff like that. But there's, and I don't really like, and the reason I don't really like to take a snake call is because generally by the time I get there, he's gone. The thing about snakes, badgers, all that sort of stuff, there's a reason for them to be there. And a lot of times it's the chipmunks or the 13-line
ground squirrels.
And they're pretty prevalent up in the area.
So if you take too many badgers out of the ecosystem, the other stuff will become a
nuisance. Everything has got a balance to it. And since we've taken over a lot of the, you know, the crop land and everything and got rid of the timbers and the little brush that's out there, and that's where all these little critters will hide and everything. But I imagine Jack, when he caught that badger, he had to have somebody fill the hole, because when they catch them, a lot of times that badger will start with the other paw that's not caught, and he will dig a moat. And I'm serious. The last two that I caught, they had to take a bobcat skid loader to come in and fill the holes.
Because what they do is it's referred to as a catch circle. Because that where you have the trap and the chain or something connecting to the stake, they can only go around in a circle. Well, that badger will go around in that circle with the one remaining paw, and the example that we caught, it probably dug a hole in that circle, probably close to 4 feet deep, all the way around in that circle.
You know, this makes sense to me because I was up in Madison, Wisconsin at the zoo. And, of course, why wouldn't you, if you're in Wisconsin, have a badger on display? And it is a sand environment. And, again, you know, for city slickers like me, I didn't know badgers lived down here. I thought they lived up way in the north, like up places where it's really cold.
And, again, it's a select habitat. It's the same thing with the muskrats. You know, you don't see anywhere near the muskrats around here anymore that you used to when I was growing up. But the habitats change. You find a spot that's got a lot of cattails and water that's pretty static, doesn't change a lot, you're going to find muskrats. And most of the time, you're going to find a lot of them. Muskrats are kind of like the rabbit of the water.
Yeah, they reproduce a lot. So let me ask you this question. I mean, obviously you're making a retirement living, a hobby retirement living, being a professional.
It's not a hobby. It's become really a lot of work.
Well, let me ask you this question then. I don't want to get too personal, but if you had never been a pattern maker, if this was what you were doing, if you were a guy instead of being 70 years old, if you were 50 years old, could you be doing this for a living?
I could, but my prices would have to go up.
Right.
And here's the thing. My prices reflect the market here in Quincy. The prices in Peoria, I could make a very good living.
Okay.
And I've got a friend that I talk to quite often, matter of fact, every day. And he'd probably make almost double what I can.
How many people are there like you? You don't have to name them. We're not trying to give them a free ad.
There are three guys that are registered.
Only three guys.
Three
here.
Guys are registered in Adams County, but the one guy lives in Mount Sterling, and he's a young man who just graduated high school last year, and he started this business. So he's out to make it his career.
Mm-hmm.
There's another guy. I think he's a controller over coyotes, and he travels all over the place and they do thermal work and stuff like that. And I'm the small animal guy, if you want to call a raccoon a small animal, but he's a ferocious one. When I got a 25 pounder here the other day. I'm telling you what, they get big. Let me say one more thing that with an animal that we passed over. The otter.
Yeah, the Otter Defamation League was just on the phone saying, why aren't you talking about otters?
We're here talking, going to talk about otters. Otters are a fantastic animal. They've done some studies on them. They've had a study here recently that they thought there was a little decline in the younger otter. Well, I don't believe that that's actually a correct I think that it's flawed a little bit in their study, is because when the guys are trapping, and the only way you can actually catch otters is trap them, they take the bigger otter because they can only, they're only allowed five when they're hobby trapping. You only catch five, and then what happens is you have to drop them in the water and leave them go. And I you can't utilize anything on it. And that's a shame, I think. The problem is they're not getting the results of the jaws on the little otters that are being caught, because they're dropping them and keeping the big ones. And so that's part of it. Now, the other thing about an otter, they look very playful. They're very ornery. They're cut-ups and all that sort of
stuff. They're fun to watch.
They are fun to watch. But don't ever corner one, because I'm going to tell you what. I had one cornered about 7-8 years ago, and he come around the corner with all of his teeth and all of his claws, and he you got something to reckon with if you got an otter. I caught one a couple of years ago. He went through a conibear trap so fast that it caught him around the waist, and he pulled the trap, the holder, and the pin out of the ground and came after me in the canoe.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you what, you got your hands full when you got an otter.
And otters can be nuisances, too. They can wipe out an entire pond of fish if you've got a family of otters working it.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, and that is a problem.
Well, wait, we got to take a break.
Okay.
Because while you guys are sitting here in your rich, ermine-lined clothing that you caught yourself, I'm over here a poor radio announcer with my, polyester, and I got to make some money by selling some ads. You know all about that, Bobby. Thank you. And we got to give Bobby's phone number too. Get your pencil ready. We're going to give it when we come back. We've got to head up to the Ursa Farmers Cooperative. See if Lisa has trapped anything lately. We'll find out in just a minute. Stay tuned. We're back. Talk Radio 930 WTAD. Jack Freiberg just asked, do you run into many weasels? I was getting ready to answer the question, but he was talking to Bobby Collins, the professional trapper. I run into lots of weasels, Jack, but you've heard all those
urban
stories.
Urban weasels.
Yeah, Jack's heard all my weasel stories. Bobby Collins, give us your phone number because, again, I'm glad you came on. I'm not really trying to promote your business. I'm not endorsing it. I mean, of all the professional trappers I know, Bobby's the one I would call. The only one I know. So, Bobby, give us your phone number, please.
It's 217-242-7414.
Okay, 242.
No, 242-7414.
Yep, 217-242-7414. We've talked a lot, most people aren't bothered by an otter or a beaver or a badger. People are bothered by raccoons, squirrels, possums, moles, voles. You do that too? Or no?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's kind of my fill-in work. Who's going to call me every day about a raccoon, Now, during baby season, yes, I'm quite busy. I mean, I can run about 14 jobs a day, and that's a lot to run. And fortunately, I don't have to pick up my granddaughter in the summertime when the raccoons are having their babies and stuff. So, or squirrels.
How nice of them to wait.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Until you're off grandpa duty.
Yeah. Exactly. The moles they're probably at certain times they can be a third of my business. They keep me hopping and busy. And the thing about moles, a lot of people will say, well, I just can't catch him. I just can't catch him. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you don't have enough traps. I have probably 3 or 4 dozen, maybe 5 dozen traps. And sometimes
you may need a lot of traps to catch just one mole.
Oh yeah. Yeah, and if I find him doing his rooting around in the yard, I may, I mean, And I flag my traps too. So you know, when you're mowing, stay away from them. Just stay away from them, because you bump them, hit them with a lawnmower, you'll be buying a trap, and some of them traps are worth $30 a piece. So yeah, I've got a lot of traps.
So moles. What about voles?
Voles are a little kind of like a little mouse, and he'll take over a mole run. And then he'll come up, and there's lots of little round holes and stuff like that. They'll have trails through the grass, and I trap a lot of them with just a little mouse trap and a cover and things. But the 13-line ground squirrels, I've got traps for them too, and just a lot of it's experience.
Right. Yes. You know what you're doing. That's why you have this business. Bobby Collins is a wildlife trapper and expert, and again, his number is 217-242-7414. Now that I've given you promotion for your business, I'm going to try to put you out of business.
Okay, go for it.
What the heck can I do if this damn raccoon and squirrel is going to dig through my roof? How can I not have them? What can I do to make sure I don't get them? How do I keep a raccoon away? I've never had that problem at my house.
I've got people that do.
Yeah.
And a lot of times is your trees. Your trees, if they're too close to the house, some of your landscaping is too high and too close to the house. Raccoon will climb up the top. He'll lean one way, and the next thing you know is he just steps onto the roof, and then he goes around.
Okay, so he's on the roof. Why does he want to go inside? What makes him want to...
Why do you want to go inside when it's cold and creepy outside and rainy and all that? The other thing is the way your houses are constructed, if you have a dormer on your house, and it's hard for me to explain it to people, but Mary can see me because she can see my hands. You got a roof line like this, and you got this dormer sticking out of it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, at the corner down here where both roofs meet, up underneath that is a weak spot.
Uh-huh.
A raccoon will take his bottom and he will butt it up against that, and then he will start pushing until he breaks it open.
Wow!
And then he's got to wade into the roof. If you have your soffits are in disrepair, and they're a little rotting wood and things like that going on, they can rip it open. And I tell the guys that come by and are doing follow up after me, if you can tear it apart with a screwdriver in one hand, a raccoon can do it too.
So one of the big things that has to try to prevent them from getting in
good
there,
maintenance.
But after you leave, the job's not done.
No.
You've got to clean up the holes, and that's what I've had people say. Well, we got rid of it, but they keep coming back. Well, you haven't plugged the hole.
Well, you've got to figure out where the attractant is, because there's a lot of times that people will go ahead and have big bird feeders out, and lo and behold, the next thing you know, shortly after that, you've been feeding them for a number of months. Well, then all of a sudden, you've got a ton of raccoons. Well, I mean, they're going to go where the lunch is or where the shelter is.
And dog food out on the deck and stuff like that. Yeah.
There's three things a raccoon needs. He needs a bird feeder, a bird bath, and he needs a place to go hide. And those three things right there is everything that we need too, you know. We want a grocery store that's handy.
Why do they do that, Bobby? Why do you go inside when it's raining? You want to be warm and dry. Yeah.
Exactly.
So, again, do the best you can not to let these nuisances get into your home. And if they do, get them out as quickly as possible, as completely as possible. And then you're going to have to recommend... It's not over yet, because hole's not fixed, they're going to keep coming back in.
I do recommend a couple of roofing companies, and recommend a couple of cleanup crews.
Mm-hmm.
And those are all, but in order to completely get rid of your raccoon or squirrel or whatever nuisance animal you have, you really need all three contractors to complete the job.
It's the job is not done. And I think that's where my girlfriend's problem is. She's trapping these things in her backyard with a trap provided by the city of Hannibal, and that's great, but, you know, they're obviously either returning to the scene of the crime, or there's just so many of them that, you know.
They're returning to the scene of the crime. They're not. They're releasing them probably south of town, down by one of the creeks and all that sort of stuff. And, oh, it's warmer in town. I mean, this lady's got insulation in her attic. Let's go.
Yeah. Well, yeah, she's got a garage that hasn't been used in years, so that's part of the problem. We've got to wrap it up because I want to play one public service announcement that Jack will appreciate for the Historical Society. So, Bobby Collins, thank you. It's been so nice to make your acquaintance.
I told you it'd be a hoot.
It is. Jack Freiberg, again, I love you with the love of 1,000 white hot suns because you make my job so easy one day a month. I'm just always fascinated by what I can learn just hanging around Freiburg.
That's so sweet of you, Mary. Thank you.
The bicentennial is coming up. Jack's really involved in that. He's involved with the Historical Society. Make donations if you can to those two agencies. And we're going to keep doing this in 2025. We're going to keep Jack and Chuck coming as long as they want. Maybe we'll have Bobby back, too. I'm really enjoying it. Thank you both for being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.